You're listening to 100.9 FM Noongar Radio.
Yes, and bringing our program back to Western Australia, this is Law Matters for another fortnight, brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Good to have your company. Today on the program, we're going to be focusing on family law, some new sort of service delivery happening in the north of our state in Newman that we're really excited to let you know about. And we'll be chatting with Neil Anderson, who is the manager of the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA Family Law Unit. So do stay tuned for that. And coming up a little later in the program, we'll be having a yarn with Dennis Eggington, CEO of the ALS as well. For another fortnight, thank you for tuning in. And g'day to all our listeners around Australia, really, whether you're listening in through the National Indigenous Radio Service nationally or to our mates around Kalgoorlie in Tjumapulka Radio, at Wonky Radio up in Fitzroy Crossing, or down in Albany and Community Radio there. It's great to have your company. And this program does come to you fortnightly by the Aboriginal Legal Service, trying to keep you up to date with important things that you need to know about in the area of law and justice in this state. And a focus today on a really important issue within our community, which is Aboriginal family law. And program for the first time, at least for a couple of years. Neil Anderson, welcome. How are you?
Thank you, Jodie. I am well. Thank you for having me, and hello to everyone. I'm glad to be here.
Neil, you are the manager of the Family Law Unit in Western Australia. I'll just get you to move forward to your microphone a little bit. It's a bit quiet. Family law, we've got how many lawyers at the moment?
At the ALS, our team has four lawyers, including myself. We're all located in Perth, and we travel around WA to try to do some outreach and to help people with regional matters. And people can call in from anywhere in WA and ask to speak to our unit and seek advice or help. And as I said, we do go out to the regional courts if we have matters in court, and we do a lot of work in the courts, in the regional courts, over video and phone links as well.
Neil, I'm just going to get you to change microphones. There's a little bit of trouble with that microphone. It sounds like you're sort of talking to me from the next room. Let's shuffle chairs there.
How's that?
Oh, my gosh. Oh. There you are. Neil Anderson is back. I don't know what's wrong. We'll just put that other mic to the side and continue. So, as mentioned at the top of the show, Neil Anderson, the manager of the Family Law Unit at the Aboriginal Legal Service. Great team of family law lawyers at the ALS, I must say. It always seems to be a really tight little unit, and a lot of people think that, you know, the ALS is there to assist with criminal matters in court through representation for that type of work, but family law is really important for our mob, and it's such a specialised area of law. It must be a pretty emotional area to work in.
It is. You know, we deal with a lot of people who are unfortunately in crisis in their lives for different reasons, or they're at particular low points. I just want to make clear to everyone that when we talk about family law, we're also talking about child protection. So anything to do with kids being involved in the protection system, or, you know, what a lot of people call the welfare, or dealing with the department. So we do a lot of that work as well. That's probably about half of the work that we do, in addition to the casework that we do in the family court to do with children, and the other services we provide, which is advice and assistance on other areas like dividing up your property when your relationship ends, or if you have to get a divorce, or you need some advice about child support. So we cover all the areas. But people are in a really low spot usually when they need a family lawyer, and they're usually under experiencing different anxieties and stresses, and we understand that. So everyone in my unit is experienced at dealing with people in that situation, and we try to be as understanding and accommodating as possible to everyone.
Because, of course, as soon as you throw children into the equation as well, boy.
Yes.
That's
yes. Well, there's
highly stressed stuff.
I feel that there's really not too many things in life that will provoke a bigger reaction than something happening with your own children, whether that's a relationship breakup and, you know, you can't work things out with the other parent or the department being involved in your life, and the worst case scenario, which is kids going into, say, foster care and there being limitations around your contact with them, or, say, extended family not seeing them at all. These are very distressing themes, and unfortunately they're affecting Aboriginal people at huge rates in Western Australia. I think the current situation is, of all young people in Western Australia, Aboriginal, those of Aboriginal heritage are about 5 or 6%, but the number of, the proportion of kids who are in the protection system now in out-of-home care, we call it, is starting to push 60%.
Wow.
So I think it's at about 55% at the moment, but all the trends are, it's going up. So we're sort of running this system that is increasingly moving towards a majority of Aboriginal kids being in it. And I, you know, I mean, it's another question perhaps for another day or a bigger picture question, but to, when do you draw a line and say this needs to be rethought? It's not working.
Do people hesitate about seeking assistance in the area of family law out of fear of their children might be taken from them?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
It's quite frequent. In fact, there are some situations where the department might actually be able to help, and people are very reluctant often to involve them. What a lot of people don't realise is if things have happened in the family, such as there might have been some violence in the past or problems with grog, the department might already have some information. So you may not be, by avoiding the issue, you may not be making things any better. There's certainly a perception, though, that to engage with the department is to sort of almost sign your children into the protection system, or that you create somehow a bigger risk that they're going to go into the system. The flip side, of course, is if you do seek help, it can, I suppose, lead the department to think this person is seeking help, they're trying to change, and in a lot of cases these matters don't end up with kids going into care. Many of them unfortunately do, and there are a proportion where it's not really justified, but there are other cases where the department can provide support and links to other services, that sort of thing. So it's unfortunately it's a judgment call for the family. Most of the time it ends up being a crisis situation, so something goes wrong and maybe the police become aware of something that's happened. Where there's kids involved and it's a serious incident, the police automatically notify the department. So in a lot of cases, as I said, it might be that the department already have some information, so trying to avoid them is not the best strategy. But what one should do is always try to get legal advice. So there's a number of services. The ALS is one, and we would be the first port of call for most Aboriginal people because we're so well known. But there are other services. Legal Aid does a lot of work in this area and providing advice in particular. And there is a regional service, the Aboriginal Family Law Service, that is based in Perth but has regional offices and takes on work in the regions for... there are certain requirements to be a client of that service, but they do a lot of work in this area as well. And the community legal centres need to be recognised. Women's Law Centre, they have a service for Aboriginal women called Jinda, which is an excellent service as well. That's metro-based. So people need to... the first thing they should be thinking when they find themselves in a crisis situation is, how can I get some legal advice about my situation, about my kids? What should I do? The department want information from me, or the department want to have a meeting. This happens a lot. The department want to have a meeting with you or with your ex-partner, or you might still be together but there are problems. Always good to do whatever you can to try and get some advice as early as possible, because it might help you just deal with the situation a bit better rather than avoiding or being angry with the people at the department, which usually doesn't work. Mm. I'm certainly not making excuses for them, and I've seen lots of examples of very bad practice. But most caseworkers are trying to do a good job, and that we need to remember they are doing a job. So there's usually nothing to be gained by being angry, or the best thing you can do is educate yourself, get some access to advice, and then you can have a sit down and have a think and a bit of a yarn about what you're going to do.
We're speaking with Neil Anderson from Family Law at the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA. We obviously don't talk about specific cases here on the program, Neil, but I want to give our listeners just some ideas of people walking through the door or picking up the phone and calling you, the sort of questions that they would seek from the Aboriginal Legal Service.
All sorts, Jodie. A lot of our work is in relation to kids. We get mums, dads, quite often grandparents or aunties and uncles who might have been looking after kids where the mum or the dad are not available. Like sometimes a parent might be in prison for a while, or they're not well, or they've relocated, because a lot of Aboriginal people move around quite a bit, which is completely normal. There's nothing wrong with that. But what happens is members of the family or the other parent, they get upset that they're not seeing the children or there aren't any arrangements in place. They're trying to come to an agreement. The other parent isn't participating, or this is what we hear. People ring up and say, look, I can't see my kids, or I don't know where they are, or I'm worried, you know, someone is in the household living with them who I think is not safe. That's a really common inquiry. We get a lot of that. And increasingly, as I said, the grandparents and the aunties and uncles who might have been looking after kids sometimes for years. And, you know, mum or dad come back, or they're available again and they want to have their kids back, which is completely a normal feeling to have. But the children are used to a certain arrangement. The family has sort of fallen into place around the kids to support them. And this leads to a lot of disagreements between people about what it should look like going forward, if that makes sense. A lot of our calls are about the child protection cases. So people ring up and just say, look, you know, my child has been taken into care, or I've, you know, the department have come to my house, or they've called me up and they've asked me to go to a meeting. What does that mean? I'm concerned. I don't know what to do. Do I need a lawyer to go with me? What could it be about? What they really need is to sort of have a bit of a yarn, really, just to talk about what has been going on, what their worries have been. Maybe someone's made a report to the department about something that's happened or some things that have been going on. A lot of those cases that we're involved in do go to the Children's Court, so they become cases where the department takes children into care. They make an application for a protection order, and we try to keep our resources for helping people in court, because my view is court is where they need us, because they don't understand a lot of the time what is going on in court. They feel incredibly disempowered to be there without a lawyer. The department always has a lawyer. They've got a team of lawyers, and they can get a barrister if they want. They've got, you know, resources. So if you're a mum or a dad, you're going down to the Children's Court and your child's just been taken into care, you probably got some issues, you might have been very depressed, and now your child is in foster care and you're feeling even more depressed. The one thing that you really probably need is someone to be at court with you. So I'm very strong on that, trying to help people at that point. So that's some examples, but we get lots of people ringing up saying, look, I don't have any issue, I just want to come to an agreement. You know, we've got some we've got a couple of cars and we've got some money in the bank, or, you know, we have a house with a little bit of equity, not very much, so we can sort of talk to them about their means and their income. And if obviously people who are on very high incomes or they have a lot of property, we wouldn't be able to usually assist or refer them to someone, and we have a network of people that we can refer people to. But if it's just sort of a few bits and pieces and, you know, it's going to help the family to just come to an agreement and sort things out, maybe give them some advice about how to get a divorce and what to do with your furniture and, you know, what about if a car, if the car that parent number one is taking is registered in the name of parent number two, how do we sort that out without having to pay hundreds of dollars in stamp duty or fees or whatever? These are the things that we can just provide a bit of assistance on, and it's day-to-day stuff. It really helps people a lot if you can do these things for them, because then they can just go on with life, concentrate on work, they can save their mental energy for looking after their children. They don't have to waste money on, you know, private legal fees, that sort of thing. We try and have a kind of a range of different services for people.
Must be so good when there's a positive resolution and people sort of walk in the door and think, oh God, this is going to be a nightmare, and walk out and go, hang on, it's solved now.
Yes.
I can move on.
It's actually one of the best things about this job is because there is, like you said earlier, there's a lot of angst, there's a lot of stress, very upset people. A lot of people that walk away from any process feeling pretty unhappy with whatever the outcome. But There's a number of people that come to you and they need a certain thing. They may not even know exactly what it is they need. And you actually help them sort it out, you help them achieve it. It's easy, it's smooth. They walk out of there and they thank you and say, look, it's made all the difference to my life or my child's life.
How good is that?
It's the best thing. I have a very quick story from years and years ago. Before I joined the ALS, which is almost 9 years ago, I helped a lady at my previous job who had a legal aid grant, and she had some issues about her kids. She was a Vietnamese refugee. She'd been living in Australia for a long time, but she had no English. And to help pay for stuff for her two boys, she used to work at one of the strawberry farms, just picking strawberries. And we had a very long, hard-fought case. It was quite difficult. She had been subjected to a lot of, you know, trauma and problems, worries. And after the case was over, we got a really good outcome for her. She came into my office one day completely unannounced, she had this bag with her, the Coles bag, and she spoke really no English, but she managed to get out, "I just want to thank you," and she pulled out this big punnet of the best strawberries I've ever seen. They tasted amazing. Just to say, it was her way of just saying thank you was the one thing that she could do. And I'll never forget. Like, that was kind of made every difficult case worthwhile.
Isn't that amazing? You know?
But I've had a few of those at the ALS too.
Oh, too lovely. And, you know, I think we're all guilty at one time or another of sort of finding ourselves in a situation and thinking that, you know, we'll just keep avoiding it and put off dealing with it and hope it goes away. It doesn't.
Yeah.
So you do need to reach out and just get some opinion on the phone. You can call us. Even though the Aboriginal Legal Service Family Law Unit is based in Perth, you can ring from anywhere in Western Australia. I'll give out the free call number that you can call at the end of the program. But there are also services in regional and country areas of this state that can assist in family law matters. And that's an exciting development that has happened, Neil, in July of this year. For a week, the Family Court of Western Australia piloted a simplified and accessible family law service for Aboriginal people in the East Pilbara region. Tell us about that, because ALS was one of the organisations involved in the delivery of family law services in Newman.
Yes, very innovative and really exciting to be a part of. So for everyone out there, this is really the first time that a family court has gone to a regional centre and has basically stripped away all the process and created a model for Aboriginal people to come in and hopefully feel comfortable to use. The initiative, I'll call it, that we've the court has named it Gigi Nuti. I don't know about my pronunciation, but I understand it's a Māori term that basically means little children, and when the words are used together, it talks about all children. the service was really the idea of the current chief judge, His Honour Stephen Thackray, who visited Newman, I think in late 2016, in connection with a project that's going on up there to assist the Aboriginal Male Healing Centre, which is a service that is proposed to assist Aboriginal men to move on from a violent past, if you like, and to try to heal and move forward. So in his time spent up there, the chief judge became aware through just talking with local people, and particularly grandparents and relatives, that there was a real lack of understanding around what family law really meant, how it worked in with child protection, because child protection is very commonly involved with children in that part of the world. And I think it dawned on him that it would be a good idea to try and deliver a service to people in that area that they could just come in and use, no paperwork, no appointments. Mm. Really, I would say, very little process, or as little process as possible, there was some time spent trying to co-design get the community involved in designing the service so that it would work for people. So that's where it came from, and that's why it's based in Newman. The week of the 30th of July, starting the 30th of July, was the first opportunity to sort of roll it out and see how it would go. If I could explain quickly, the court sent the chief judge, Magistrate Eric Martino, who's a family law magistrate, and a family consultant named Sharon Pedley, who's a Kimberley woman. The legal services sent a number of people each, lawyers, and that included myself from the ALS. The Pilbara Community Legal Service, Legal Aid WA, had two lawyers, and the Aboriginal Family Law Service also two lawyers, and PCLS had a couple of support workers as well. Mm. We basically invited people to just come in, spread the word before we got there, and then people did come in and engage with us, but I think the issue with setting something up like this is that in a lot of the regional and sub-regional areas, people just, when they think of court, they just think of police or jail, or they think of your children being taken off you. So there's nothing good about court. And part of the challenge here is to educate people in the regional areas who may have no knowledge of that there is a family court or what it does, and no idea about what its role is, that in fact this is a court that can help people, because this court is about keeping children with their families, in a way that is safe. So, and how it actually worked for people was we conducted a number of, we'll call them hearings, but they were held in basically a sort of conference room, just around a table. So everyone sat down together. The magistrate was wearing a polo shirt. One of the granddads who came in had a beanie on, and you know, when you go to court in Perth, they say, well, you can't have sunnies on your head and you have to take your hat off. So that everyone just sat on the same level, and what really made this completely different from any court was that the people who came to use the service to talk about those children were the ones who did the talking. So they led the process. And one of the people who is caring for some of these kids that we were talking about gave a bit of feedback after the project, and they said, you know, that they went to the family, and I'm keeping gender out of this, so, you know, that's why I'm sort of being neutral about it, that they went to the family court in Perth once, and it was really scary. And when they went to this court, it was scary at first, but then when everyone was sitting down and they were just able to talk about the kids, they weren't scared anymore. which was really a wonderful thing to hear.
Mm.
I suppose for people who are wondering about, is this a good service for me, or should I go down and talk to them when they're in Newman at the end of the month, just think about what your situation is. We want to hear from everyone, so everyone is welcome to come and talk to the lawyers and find out if this is right for you. But if you are a family or you're a household and you've got kids living with you, you may not be their parents, but you're related. You might be nanas, pops, aunties, uncles, cousins, and you're looking after kids that you've had maybe for a while, and everyone in the family is okay for you to do that, you agree. But you might be having trouble when you talk to the school, or you take them to the doctor or the hospital. They might need an immunisation, or you might need to organise some money to help them. And the government say to you, well, you're not the parent and we need them to sign. The family court can provide an order to give parental responsibility, mm-hmm. it's called. And this is sort of where we targeted our work in the cases that came before us that week.
Mm.
So that's sort of something that we can provide. And that's what I mean when I say it's a helping court.
Mm.
It actually can provide a solution to a problem rather than just taking your liberty off you or taking your children off
you. It's interesting, isn't it? Because, I mean, yeah, one of the main aims of the initiative is to help to keep Aboriginal children away from the child protection system by allowing family court orders to be made to keep children safe within existing family members. And, you know, you just gave that example of immunisation. Well, the logical thing of that, if it doesn't get sorted, is that, well, that kid doesn't get immunised.
Yeah.
You know, it's just really simple things that can put those roadblocks up that make people say, look, this is all just too hard.
Yeah.
And I love it when you call it a helping court,
yeah,
because there is that stigma around courts. And, of course, in the historical context of our stolen generations and people being taken from their families, this is actually the reversal of let's keep our families and our communities strong,
yeah,
and help you keep that family unit together.
That's
I love
right.
the term, the helping court. That's
yes.
awesome.
It's really caught on, I must say. And this is not about really telling families how they should be looking after children or who should have responsibility. It's about making it easier for those family members who are looking after those kids day to day to interact with those parts of government or various agencies where they might be having trouble, or just making everything easier for them and for the children, and also giving them certainty. But what you say about children going into the child protection system, we know from our work, our casework, that having sorted things out in the family court is a protective factor against children going into the protection mm-hmm. system. It doesn't always work, but in my experience, certainly, when you're talking to the department about a particular child or a group of children and they become aware that the family court has dealt with that family or has made some orders to bring about some certainty, they are, in my experience, far less likely to say, well, we need to intervene in this family. And they usually give it a bit more time before they take any statutory action or intervening in the family or taking the children.
Yeah, and I think the whole way it's been going, I mean, you know, a need has been seen and it's been set up as a pilot program in Newman in the Pilbara region of Western Australia. But the setting up of it included that really important process of consultation with community and elders. You know, you just can't fly into a region and tell people what's best for them.
No.
It's all got to be sitting around and talking about what's going to work for this community, which may be something totally different that works for the next community 200 kilometres up the road.
Exactly.
So it's an exciting time taking family law services and a helping court to Newman in Western Australia. The first week was in July, and 26th of November is going to be another week in Newman of
yep.
The helping court, the family court.
That's
services
right.
in Western Australia. Will you be heading there again, Neil?
Yes, I will.
Yes.
We were based in Newman House, and my understanding is this time around we'll be there again, which is not far from the Newman Court building, and it's sort of in the centre of town. If you can't find one of us, just come into Newman House and speak to Sandra, who's at the disability office there, or the Pilbara Community Legal Service. They'll be able to connect with one of us other lawyers. And as I say, no appointments, no, as they call it in that part of the world, as I'm told, no milli-milli, which is paperwork. We just have one page, and we just write the names of the people that want help and the names of the kids, and we might write down what it is they would like to do, what do they want the judge or the magistrate to do for them. So the focus really is on them and what they want.
I don't know, it sounds like a bit of a winning formula to me.
It's just completely different from what you normally do in court. Because courts, when you go into an ordinary court, say down here, or anywhere, any magistrate's court, they're very process driven. They have a certain way that they do things. Everybody's got a role to play. The magistrate or the judge says and does certain things, and the lawyers do certain things, and the supporting staff do certain things, and the accused or the person who's there to participate in the proceedings has a role as well. But the court, there are rules of court, and there are regulations, and there are ways of doing things, and there are practice directions. So these all govern how you.
And lots of milli milli.
Lots and lots of milli milli. I just know that
from all of the files on your desk in family law.
Yes. So this one, as I say, there isn't any, and really the process is driven by the people who have come in and said, we've got. You know, we're looking after these kids, and there might be, I'm not saying everyone has to be getting along. There can be things that people aren't agreeing on, or they things that haven't been worked out that need to be worked out. You know, we have in that part of the world, we have a lot of family members that live in different areas, different towns, different communities. They might be working in FIFO type work. So, and the kids might be located most of the time in one town, for example, Newman, but they've got relatives that they need to have contact with so that they can grow up with a balanced upbringing and an understanding of who's on both sides of their family. So it can be about bringing everyone together to just talk about that, to say, who have we got? We've got everyone in the room who cares about this boy or girl or these kids, and they want certain things for them, and let's talk about it. And so it's really a conversation.
Good stuff. Mm. Thanks for telling us about it, Neil, and thanks for popping into Law Matters.
Very happy.
Talking about family law, I think we need to keep it a bit higher on the agenda on this program as well, just to let people know, because there is a whole lot of areas of family law that we could just be focusing on and letting people know what their rights are and taking a lot of the stigma away and making sure that, you know, our community members don't feel shame about asking for help or, you know, if they're turning up at these community meetings, you know, don't feel shame if, you know, maybe that it doesn't turn out to be the right forum, because the chances are that by even turning up on the day, you'll be redirected to the right service that could assist you, you know, in a little bit of a different way. So it's great to hear the second week of the court in Newman for family law matters commencing on Monday the 26th of November. If you want any more information about family law or anything that you've heard Neil talk about on the program today, wherever you are in Western Australia, we've got a free call number of 1800 019 900, 1800 019 900. You can speak to our family law unit from anywhere in the state, and we can either link you up with services a little closer to you or help you over the phone, or if you're in Perth, of course, pop into the office and see our amazing team of family law lawyers. Neil, thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Jodie.
To you again. We won't leave it 5 years for next time, but good luck up in Newman next time, and hopefully the momentum just builds and it just blossoms.
Yes. Thank you very much, Jodie.
Neil Anderson, Manager of the Family Law Unit of the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Coming up soon on the program, ALS CEO Dennis Eggington. Stay tuned. You're on Law Matters, brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Jodie Hoffman with you, and joining us on the line, CEO of the ALS, Dennis Eggington. How are you, Dennis?
Uh, Good day, Joe. Good thanks for the song.
It's a great song, wasn't it?
Yeah. Very well known for his blues. He's always sounded good. The Knox family have been a part of music royalty, Aboriginal music royalty, for such a long time.
All right, Dennis, we've got some technical issues, so we'll try and push through and see how we go with the phones here. I know that it's been a busy year for the Aboriginal Legal Service, but just wanted to touch base with you because, of course, the annual general meeting of the ALS is coming up on the 21st of November. It's been a busy few years as we've transitioned from an incorporated body to a company, and that process has gone relatively smoothly considering the amount of work that's had to happen behind the scenes, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. Of course, we still have a long way to go to secure our community engagement processes. But we've basically lost thousands and thousands of members, and could just encourage people, if you do want to be a member of the company limited, ALS Company Limited, then call our company secretary here at Perth on 9265666. His name is John Perrock, and he can help organise memberships for people. But no, it's an exciting time. We want to get to a stage where we've got a company that doesn't rely on government funding to be able to maintain and run its services. And in that, there's lots of new activities planned. But the AGM is coming up, and it'll be the second AGM as a part of the company, but it'll be the first time we transition from the old board directors into a new era, new skill-based.
All right. Now, it's incredible to think that it is already November. It's been another flat-out year for the ALS, and earlier in the program was chatting with Neil Anderson about family law and, family court happening up in Newman in July and occurring again later this month. The ALS continues, after so long, to provide much-needed services to our community. Over 20 years as the CEO, Dennis, part of you hoped that there wasn't a need for so many services by lawyers for our mob here in WAA?
I think it's the dilemma for our service delivery organisation. Like, there's part of you that wants to grow things, make them bigger and better, and respond to all what's come. And I would say it's the same for our medical services and legal services. For us to exist, there has to be sick people, and there has to be people in trouble with the justice system, and so really there's also that the Noongar side of us that want things to improve, therefore get to a stage where you might not really need legal service so big, so large, because of the numbers of people that aren't coming in. But unfortunately, that hasn't been the case. But you balance that out by trying to create other opportunities and businesses that are proactive in helping manage the people coming into the court systems. And that's not just by helping and working with families and not hurting people, but it's bigger picture stuff around nation building, treaty, and legitimizing our governments across this country. So all of that is exciting work. If you had to keep just doing the criminal law side of what we do, then it could become quite depressing after a period of time. You've got to try to balance it with proactive work as well.
Yeah, Dennis, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. The phone lines here at Noongar Radio are popping in and out. So we're getting most of what you said, but unfortunately not all. So we will leave it there. But I know that it is getting up to the end of the year, and we always have a year in review. So that will happen in the next coming programs, where we'll get to you in the studio and have a good yarn and a reflection over 2018, the year that was. But thank you for your time on the program today, and a reminder to our listeners that the annual general meeting for the ALS is coming up on Wednesday, the 21st of November at 2 o'clock. Thanks for your time, Dennis.
Yeah, good, and thanks for saving my eardrums too.
Thanks,
okay,
Ben.
Thank you.
The AGM is for the members, but if you want to find out how to become a member, please phone the Aboriginal Legal Service Perth office, 9265 666 9265 666, and the company secretary is John Perrock. So do make inquiries about how to become a member. And to our members, we look forward to seeing you at the AGM on the 21st of November. All the information is on the website at the Aboriginal Legal Service, www.als.org.au. Wrapping up Law Matters for another fortnight. Apologies for the technical difficulties during the program today. We're actually operating out of a different studio that is being worked on, so we muddled through, got to the end of our program, and thank you for persevering with us. If you would like any more information about services that can be provided by the Aboriginal Legal Service, call us toll-free from anywhere in WA, 1800 019 900, 1800 019 900. Check out our website, www.als.org.au, and like us on Facebook, Aboriginal Legal Service of WA Limited. Until next time, take care from myself, Jodie Hoffman. Thank you for your company. Bye now.